This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann. Every year on the 4th of January, World Braille Day is commemorated on the anniversary of Louis Braille's birth. And he is the person who invented Braille back in 1824 when he was only a teen himself. Now, almost 200 years later, Braille has become a system of reading and writing that's used across the world, and one that has enabled people with visual impairments to learn to become literate and to participate in society where the written word is vital to almost every aspect of daily life. But to commemorate World Braille Day today, I'm joined by Kavindran, a digital accessibility advocate, to share his own experience with Braille. And we want to also discuss how technology is playing into the use of Braille in today's world. How are you doing today, Kavin? Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for the invitation. I'm well here. Having some good day, and the year have been good so far.
That's great to hear. Perhaps, Kavin, I'm just going to start with something a bit more basic, right? Because for people who are not familiar with Braille or, you know, have only very little knowledge about it, how would you describe what Braille is to them?
So Braille is a system of reading and learning. Mm-hmm. For the blind, which is designed to perceive with a sense of touch. So it means that it's an inclusive design, particularly for the most of the our species here, because for those who can touch or who can sense the world by using touch, you can read Braille. Mm-hmm. With some learning. It works for blind people, deaf blind people. And sometimes it also works if you want to send some cryptic codes to people, or some secrets that only people who can understand Braille can read it. But Braille is not a language. Mm-hmm. It is a writing system, just like alphabets or printed words or you know, alphabetical systems or writing systems, other writing systems. Braille can be written in many languages, just how the sign language can be in many forms. That's how Braille is. So Braille can be written in not only many languages, but in many ways. There are codes for mathematics Braille. Mm. There are codes for music. There are codes for many other disciplines, because blind people are everywhere and in every part of human life.
I think that's really interesting, right? Because a lot of people always think of it as a language, but it's not. It's really like an alphabet, right?
Right. It's a writing system.
What was your own experience with Braille like? You know, do you remember when and how you learned Braille?
Sometimes it is really quite difficult to go back to the early days, because it's so innate. Mm. How we learn to read and write. So mm-hmm. me being a blind person since birth, I really started to understand alphabets after learning to read, which is learning to read Braille. Mm. And although prior to that, I have learned alphabet from my parents or my mother particularly, but the occurrence of alphabets and its shape, structure, and its sounds comes well to me when I start to really start to read it, or to say it in a very literal way, to touch it and to read it with my own hands and perception. I start to learn Braille at the age of 7. Mm-hmm. And since then, I start to really enjoy reading. I love to go to library and explore the wonder and fascination that books brings to us, particularly fiction and storybooks. And later in life, although I have started to be very, very active in the online world by the virtue of screen reader invention. Mm-hmm. But Braille literacy have been a very important part of my life. Mm-hmm. Have shaped who I am and how who am I in the shared history and culture of the blind people. Passionate blind people will write Braille with an uppercase, just like how deaf people write D with an uppercase, to not only indicate the cultural and the shared history that we have, but also to recognize this cultural hero, Louis Braille, as you have said before, have invented Braille only when he was 15, mm-hmm. you know, compared to Tesla and other people who have invented so many things. Mm-hmm. He have no any business intent or any motivation or even expertise. He is just inventing something out of necessity to read books because he is a very curious person, just like other blind people who start to learn Braille. You can witness a sense of curiosity when you, not only when you see blind people learn Braille, but when you start to learn Braille itself, because Braille require you to really be with the alphabet, to touch it and to feel it, each and everything. And when you become a good Braille reader, you will never even remember the each point of you touching each alphabet. It will just go, you know, just like a very general thing to you for it to happen. So our brain is a marvel. Although you read Braille with a hand, but it works like you are watching or reading something with your eyesight, because it's not about the sensory organ. Mm-hmm. It's about the neurons and the connection that it makes to form information that had been received from the outside world. This kind of things only happen because we understand that the brain can adapt, you know, this millions of years of evolutionary marvel can adapt to anything, to predict and give information to our species.
Hmm. Definitely. And, you know, I think it's so incredible to see how the Braille system has been developed and used by people across the globe, you know, with so many languages, with so many in so many ways. Like you say, you know, it can be used in math, it can be used in music. Kavin, you mentioned that, you know, Braille was so vital for you and helped you discover your love of reading, you know, and how important Braille literacy is. But and could you elaborate on what you think on why Braille is so important when it comes to literacy, when it comes to access to education these days, especially when we have technology available?
So when we refer to many human rights instruments, Universal Declaration of Human Rights, mm-hmm. or the Convention for the Rights of Person with Disability, Article 2, those human rights instruments are bringing us the awareness and also trying to bring us the philosophy of access to equitable education, information, and communication. And this is the sole need that Louis Braille have back in time, in his teenage years when he was in school. He was trying to read books, but during that time, only bright students have access to blind the books that can be read by blind people. Mm-hmm. But then after he have established himself as a good student, he was shocked to witness books that is so big that a sentence will it's fitting to a half page. So he think to himself that even if he can read about 100 books, how much he can learn? So via this frustration or necessity, he have thought or self thought to invent something very interesting. And we should really recognize here that this invention comes during a wartime. It's during a French Revolution, and it's an invention from an inspiration from a setup by French soldiers to communicate sounds through raised dots.
Mm-hmm.
So when he recognized this way of doing things, he started to tinker with it and try to replace sounds to words or alphabets. So alphabets is being changed to raised dots, and it takes time for him to really develop this kind of really comprehensive system. Years of tinkering and modification, sleepless nights, you know, the usual invention or creativity. And we should know how this invention happened is through him using many tools to create the perception of dots. And this tool that he uses is the tool that had blinded himself during his age of three, mm-hmm. when he was playing with the material that his father is using to repair things. So this is what we call combinatorial creativity, where various parts of life, inspiration and understanding became into one original invention. So through a pure necessity and need to learn and to read books, he have not only invented this reading and writing system, but he goes further to work, you know, with his tuberculosis until the age of 43. He works tirelessly to also work on codes of mathematics and braille music.
Hmm.
So here we understand that as a person, he is a visionary, comparably to Tesla and also Edison, but even more so than them, you know, as Maria Popova of the marginalian.org. She is a person who loves to read and write about what she reads. She put it very succinctly about Louis Braille, that he is more than Edison and Tesla, because he invent this revolutionary global alphabet system due to the need of himself and his blind people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not from a business need or any, it didn't come from or stem from any technological training. So this kind of very simple invention, if you can think about Braille, how it happened, the Braille writing system, it's just a raised dot that you even can create from a very non-rocket science technology. There is this thing called pocket frame.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 20 to 30 ringgit. You can buy it elsewhere, or you can recreate the experience where it is a frame with a lot of holes. You can put a paper beneath the holes and use a stylus, a kind of pen, to do the Braille there. So you can have this one hole, and on the one hole, you have 1.1.2.3 on the left side, and .4, .5, and .6 on the right side. So you can stimulate that. And if you can think about it, it's not really about how, it's not really about what you used to do Braille. But just think about the extensive codes or extensive writing system that had been invented by Louis Braille. It's not about this, the how Braille functions, because the way that Braille functions, although if you see, if you watch how Braille works, or if you look at the machine Braille, it may be very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said before, it can be recreated by using a pocket frame or a stylus. You can create a dot by using pen. But it's not about the creation, but it's about the coding system, the extensive Braille codes that had been invented and refined. And until now, you know, many people, you know, like the World Braille Union and many other organizations,
mm-hmm.
are still refining and updating many parts of the Braille, the English writing system, or for every Braille codes, there are organizations who are keeping their mind updating the codes according to the culture and revolution of the knowledge and time.
Hmm.
So we have Malay Braille codes here in Malaysia, and in other part of the world, we have Braille codes for other languages and other purposes. So I do think that the necessity of Braille is beyond reading and learning, but the necessity of Braille, if an alien visits this universe, Braille can be shown as one of the feet that the human species have reached. to bring not only reading and learning access to the blind, but to have some invention, which is very simple, but very sophisticated. So, you know, it's the simplicity lies in the sophistication lies in the ultimate simplicity of an invention.
I think that's such a beautiful way to put it, because when you look at the writing system, like you say, it's just raised dots, right? But there's so much complexity into what looks like such a simple system. Kavin, could you help paint a picture for those of us who don't use Braille? You know, how important is it for you to navigate the world, you know, when so many of us rely on our sight, right? How does Braille help you navigate your daily activities?
So, although now in this age of information and communication, where everything is powered by the availability of many data, Braille is a very necessary thing back then, where in countries that they have implemented universal Braille label, a blind person can identify many information independently without relying on sighted peers. So such as, you know, in Singapore, they have used Braille maps to mark locations and to create indoor navigation system. And Braille is used extensively to label mats and also to label sensitive items and also daily used items. And also Braille is used also extensively in some countries to bring in creativity, to encourage play among child. So one important quality for a child is for her to play.
That's right.
And to learn from it. And many many games are in Braille. We can buy some here in Malaysia, and there are many outside Malaysia. And Braille is also used to express the artistic value of blind people and also non-blind people through art, you can symbolically create art and express art through Braille. You can find many art that had been done using or primarily by depicting Braille or using Braille. So not only in navigation but even in learning. Just imagine, the reason why I say Braille is one of the human inclusive design is because anyone can use it anywhere without relying on the sense of touch. So if you have a Braille book, you can read it in a dark place. So if you are in a hostage camp, in a very dark place, you can use that time to read books, and even in a very, very dark place, Braille can be very beneficial for you to communicate information. You can also communicate emergency notes to people, or you can have a very, very personal communication with people by using Braille. Being a very inclusive solution for reading and writing system, I do think that this understanding that we can read, write, and perceive the world by using touch in an age of sight dominance is crucial.
Let's go for a quick break now, Kavin. And when we come back, I want to talk to you more about technology and also how we as a society can be more inclusive to the blind, especially here in Malaysia. So I'm speaking today to Kavin Thrin, a digital accessibility advocate in conjunction with World Braille Day. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on Live and Learn, PFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann. It is World Braille Day today on the 4th of January, which is celebrated yearly to commemorate the anniversary of Louis Braille's birth, who is the person who invented Braille back in 1824. And today I'm joined by Kavindran, a digital accessibility advocate, to share his thoughts on the use of Braille, his own experience on the use of Braille, and also how we can do better to create a society that's more inclusive, to create a more accessible society as well. Kavin, before the break, you know, you were describing the importance of Braille, the history of Braille, but how accessible would you say is learning Braille or information in Braille here in Malaysia?
We have very scarce Braille material available in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about a book, it is recognized globally that blind community are in a book famine phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at the statistics, only 1-7% books are in accessible format. So okay. Keep in mind that what they mean by that is only 1-7% books are in accessible electronic format. So we are not talking about books being available in electronic format. So let's say you can have a PDF book. Don't worry, I'll come to Braille, but let me explain what I'm trying to say here.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have books in PDF format, you have books in EPUB and in Kindle format. But let's say when you go to an Amazon page to purchase a Kindle book, you can see there screen reader supported. So it means that it can be read by screen reader.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I meant simply by saying accessible format. But accessible format means more than that. It's not about Amazon saying it's supported by screen reader. It means that the book had been in accessible format, the format that can be rendered by screen reader and the format that had been well thought by the book publisher to be accessible. So now we are talking about 1-7% of accessible format, not a Braille format.
Mm.
Can you imagine how much of books are available in Braille format globally and how much of them are available in Malaysia? It is very little.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we often say that being blind, it's not about, you know, not having sight, but it's about denied access to information, denied access to technology, denied access to the society and communication. So here in Malaysia, I have communicated with some two or three publishers, but it's hard for them to even think about having ebooks or an accessible format ebook.
Mm-hmm.
So it's harder for someone to think about having Braille books because the production value is a bit up,
mm-hmm,
or a bit costly.
Mm-hmm.
And also the human power that's need to do all that is another thing to be ruminate about. And also the final product that will be consumed by only few, if we can think about books, or the many books are not be consumed by everyone. So they will be culture of consumption among different genres of different writers. So here in blind community, although there are many blind people and many more people are becoming blind, but the consumption rate is lower. Not because people are not consuming, but the general idea of consumption is that there is not much things that can be consumed. But information age have changed that narrative a bit.
Mm-hmm.
If in the past our people need to copy everything into Braille,
mm-hmm,
now they can just take notes via Siri or just type using screen reader to their laptop or to their phone. So things have changed so much. But even so, Braille will be always relevant.
Hmm. So do you see that there is more that can be done to, in terms of the technological developments, to improve accessibility for or of information for people who are blind, for people who have vision issues?
Certainly. So here in Malaysia, we do not have, we have security audits, but we do not have accessibility audits.
Mm-hmm.
Accessibility audit is a global practice, but not here and in some other countries. So access to information is essential in education. So now we are transforming to a digital Malaysia, mm-hmm. but we have not even think about inclusive digital Malaysia. We only think about digital Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be a big, big blowback due to many people are becoming disabled people due to long COVID.
Mm-hmm.
This is a known issue
mm-hmm.
Where we can refer back to many epidemiologists and even people who do research on pandemic.
Yep.
One of the post-COVID long-term issue is disability. So disability stems from interaction of health condition with inaccessible environment and attitudinal and social structure barrier. So when we have Malaysia, which is digital but not inclusive, when we have Malaysian, when we have Malaysia culture, which is progressive but not disabled inclusive, or when we do not have an enabling culture, Malaysian culture, which enables everyone, we are going, because not only post-COVID disabling us, but also the understanding that half of the global population, including Malaysia, is turning into an old age population. We are increasingly being forced to be inclusive. This is not a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Climate crisis, post-COVID, and a old age population is eloquently saying to us that we need to change things for a built back better Malaysia and also global society. So here we can see that many websites and apps that are here are not tested for accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
And even prominent publishers of electronic publications in Malaysia have their apps not tested for accessibility and are not accessible for the blind people.
Mm-hmm.
Malaysia have ratified, agreed to ratify the Marrakesh Treaty, if you're aware of it, just in the last December, which is a way for all countries that have access to Marrakesh Treaty to collaborate to form a global library of accessible books. So this is a progressive movement and something that had been not really given much emphasis in Malaysian media. In the light of this World Braille Day, I would like to thank all people that have participated in making this a reality, because when Malaysia ratified to this Marrakesh Treaty, that means a huge library, may it be figuratively or literally, mm-hmm. will be opened up for the blind people to read more and learn more. So, but this is not this can be the earliest step to embrace inclusivity, but certainly it is not the step or only step for us to be accessible. We need to have a very, very centered approach and a very prioritized approach to embrace inclusivity and digital inclusion. That's briefly on why Malaysia need to be inclusive and why it is not now.
Mm, definitely. I think in our push to moving towards more digital accessibility, we must remember that it's not just being able to access the internet or being able to access technology, it's being able to access the information there as well, right? And not everyone can access it equally. We are seeing a lot more people asking questions about how they can do better or trying to do better. Kevin, from your perspective, is there anything that perhaps as an individual or perhaps as a social media platform, right? What can people do to improve accessibility on the digital content that they put out?
So basically, you should understand that people who consume whatever you put out are diverse in nature.
Mm-hmm.
People may be, people may be dyslexic or deaf or blind or a child or a woman or an old person, or maybe a non-binary person. So this kind of diversity are innate in human species. It's not new. It's not something exceptional. It is innate. So when you think about diverse people that are consuming your content, you will strive to make your content inclusive. And inclusive is not special need. It is to be known that inclusive is something that you do to make it work for everyone, everywhere, every time, to your best of your knowledge. So the most obvious thing that happened in social media is to have pictures posted without an image description. Mm-hmm. And this happened across social media. So when a screen reader user, they encounter your post without an alt text or image description, the screen reader will only say image. So if you have 15 images, it will just indicate to them that there are 15 images, but the image makes no value to them. So So now we can see in the Darurat Banjir time, many of the information are posted as image, and many of the information are distributed as a visual as a visual information. And this may be easier, but not inclusive, because the images are not labeled with alternative text or description.
Mm-hmm.
So the most who are affected by the Darurat Banjir are disabled people. And when they are denied of information and communication efforts, they are the most marginalized here. So do think about how information not only can reach people, but how meaningfully it can reach people. So meaningful communication and meaningful information, equitable information access is very important. And people may think that alt text and image description are only for the blind people. But as I said, inclusive approach is for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
When you include alternative text, people that do search on Twitter and Google, the bot that search on Twitter and Google can find your material, although your material have images, because the alternative text is also being scraped and indexed. This is the importance of inclusive solution, not because it will work for the disabled, but it opens up more diversity, more perspective, and more ideas to be discovered.
Hmm. Before we end, Kavin, you know, you mentioned earlier that you don't think Braille would become obsolete one day. What is it that Braille offers that technology can't replace?
Actually, technology has replaced many things since antiquity.
Mm-hmm.
In the early days, we learned to speak, but we think about, okay, let's save what we think, and we invent writing system. And also we invent books. And during the invention of books, many people doubt have doubt that this ancient form of writing, with no book format will be obsolete, but it's not. So it's the same for podcasts. When podcasts came in, people thought that music, listening to music or listening to radio will be down. Yes, in some places, listening to radio is going down, and people also think that book reading will be affected, but it's not. What technology or good invention will always do is combine whatever is innate to the human to its best of the knowledge to fit the current need. So now, although we have many technology and many new blind people do not know how to read Braille, but when Braille is needed, new technology are there to fit it. We have Braille note takers and Braille displays.
Mm-hmm.
And although the technology is expensive, but there is way to read Braille by using Braille displays. So if you're thinking about expensive technology, many big vendors like Apple and Google have also embraced Braille by supporting Braille writing system in their screen reader. So on iPhone, you can input Braille by just placing your finger on screen, like how your Braille on a Braille machine, how you will Braille on a Braille machine, you can Braille it on your iPhone screen. So this is a technology making way to the old but timeless tech of the humankind.
Thank you so much for speaking to me today, Kavin, and sharing your thoughts on this.
Yeah, welcome, and thank you for all the great questions.
I've been speaking to Kavindran, a digital accessibility advocate, in conjunction with World Braille Day, and we've been discussing the importance of Braille and the continued relevance of it in today's technology-savvy world. If you missed any part of today's show or any previous Live and Learn episodes, you can look up the podcasts on bfm.my or on the BFM app. I'm Lim Suen, and this has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.